Amen. That's good singing. You have your Bibles with you. We're turning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And while you turn to that portion of God's Word, Philippians chapter 4, we thank our sister sincerely for accompanying those pieces in song and for using the talents in this public fashion, the talents that the Lord has given her. And we certainly ought not take these things for granted. We thank our sister sincerely in our Lord's precious name. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And commencing our reading at verse 1 of Philippians chapter 4. Let us hear God's word. And if you don't have a Bible with you, well, you listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This applies to the saved, the unsaved. And therefore, let us listen in, or perhaps the person next to you will share their Bible with you and you can follow on. Philippians chapter 4, commencing at verse 1, let us hear God's word. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 7. And knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to this, the public reading of his word, as he's promised and revealed to do so. Let us bow reverently, quietly, with God's word open before us, conscious that we need the Lord's assistance. Therefore, let us come in reverence and godly fear before him, asking for that very thing, that divine assistance of which we need, even now. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee for that access unto the Father, for the acceptance through thy Son, our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that acceptance through the blood of the everlasting covenant, for redemption accomplished, redemption applied. And we thank thee for the assistance through the one Spirit, with the one Spirit. Therefore, we thank thee for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We ask of thee that you'll help us in this building, this vicinity. We ask of thee, as our faces differ, so do our needs. And yet we thank thee that we come to one who can meet the need. We ask of thee that you'll empty us now of self and of sin. Fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We pray that thou wilt speak to sinner and saint alike. We ask of thee for that hush of eternity, for that holy awe, for that clearness of speech, for thee to draw alongside, for the blessed paraclete to apply the word. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll help us even now, conscious that we need thy help. We publicly confess that we need thee. more than we are aware of needing thee. And Lord, we cry unto thee that thou wilt help now. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fall afresh on every blood-bought child of thine. Shut us in with thyself. Shut out the enemy, the one who would hinder, the one that would distract. And we would be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 in the verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are given clear direction and guidance to take no thought of our lives, that is, to avoid anxious care and distracting thoughts in the difficulties of this life. It is the duty and interest of God's purchased people, of God's blood-bought people, his own redeemed people, to live without care. The text means be not anxious. Be not constantly thinking about the needs of this mortal life. Be careful for nothing. As Matthew Henry said, oh, that God might teach us how to avoid the evil which is here forbidden, and to live with that holy carelessness, which is the very beauty of our Christian life, when all our care is cast upon God, and we can joy and rejoice in his providential care of us. Oh, these verses before us, these words which are God-breathed, given by God, are some of the greatest gems found in God's word on the subject of prayer. We find that they are recorded at the conclusion of Paul's epistle, that is, to the Philippians, and are part of his final exhortation to that church. We find in the commencement of this chapter, in verse 1, it begins with the word therefore. Therefore, indicating that there is a change from exposition to exhortation. And so, dealing with humility and the need to know Christ personally, not merely with a head knowledge, but within the heart and soul. And to be in union, that indissoluble union, that union that is forever and everlasting. That union that is with Jesus Christ. In the previous chapters, Paul the Apostle turns to practical exhortations in chapter 4 that are centered, that are focused upon the needs, the everyday needs, or rather the daily activities of the Christian. In verses 4 to 7, he notes three subjects, that should characterize the daily activities of the Christian, namely joy in the Lord, or in other words, rejoicing. The second, to moderation. And the third, to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thus, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is to be a daily activity for the Christian. For prayer is the life breath of the Christian, and no doubt Paul, God's man knew that trials and difficulties were coming for this church. He knew by experience that Christian life is not an easy road. But here he exhorts them all. He exhorts them all. In general, well, to rejoice in the Lord. And to moderation, enforced by this argument, the Lord being at hand, and to calmness and quietness of mind, and to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to which they are encouraged by the promise of having the peace of God, keeping their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And therefore, child of God, the difficulties that we face in this life and the difficulties in no doubt that we will be presented with should drive us to our knees. Oh, but yet the tempting question may arise, why should we pray? Why should we pray? Or even what benefit and blessing is there in going to the prayer meeting? Or the prayer meetings prior to the service? Or getting down to pray before we come to church? What blessing, what benefit is there in praying? Well, we should pray simply because we need God's help to help His grace to help us and to deal and bear with our many burdens. And therefore, what Paul is teaching us by inspiration of God, as he is moved by God the Holy Ghost, the third person of God's Trinity, he is teaching us, and as the Lord is teaching us today, turn every care into prayer. Turn every care into prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, verses 6 and 7. Give to us as God's people encouragement and instruction for prayer and the effect and the importance of prayer. And so as a remedy against perplexing care, constant prayer is recommended. Not only stated at times for prayer, that is the weekly prayer meeting, that is the prayer times before the morning and evening service, but in everything, by prayer. You see, we must join thanksgiving with prayers and supplications, and not only seek supplies of good, but own the mercies, child of God, that we have already received, because God needs not to be told our wants and desires, because he knows them better than we do ourselves. But he will have us show and value the mercy and feel our dependence upon him. And so firstly, there's the primacy of prayer. Your primacy of prayer. You see, very often in life, when we are faced with difficulties, when we are faced with trials, we often, our immediate reaction is to worry. Our immediate reaction when faced with trials, troubles, difficulties in life's journey, well, we worry. It's our human nature to be concerned and to worry about problems. Paul the Apostle states, be careful for nothing. That word careful means to be anxious about, to take thought. And of course, we're not being instructed here to live the Christian life in a well, a carefree manner. Because there are certain things in life that we have to be careful about. We have to be careful in our character and our conduct as we live among the ungodly, as we live among those who are without Jesus Christ. We have to be careful how we speak, how we live before others. And so we're not being instructed here to live the Christian life in a brainless way or a carefree manner. It's important that we exercise wisdom and prudence, but rather our first reaction and response to trials and difficulties should be to pray. Should be to pray. Be anxious about nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, saints ought not to be anxious. We ought not be anxious. And yet it is our human nature to worry. It is our very build-up, our very frame. And yet saints ought not to be anxious or in a distressing manner concerning the things of this life, but to be content. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul that said, I have learned? Oh, he needed to be taught. The Apostle knew what it was to learn. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Whether they have less or more, that is, Christians, whether less or more, nor to be pressed down with what befalls us, but should cast our care upon the Lord. Therefore do we see that principle teaching. Turn every care into prayer. Turn into a prayer everything that is a care, and therefore carry every case to him, child of God, hence the primacy of prayer. Instead of worrying and wasting time and energy, our efforts should go towards prayer, but it be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And so prayer is to accompany everything we do. And every time, always, constantly, every day, as often as there is opportunity and need requires. And so we must ask the question, do we pray over every decision we make? Do we pray over every decision we make? Do we seek the Lord for the future? To know the will of God? Do we turn to God first but in everything by prayer. And so we sang that hymn and didn't get it right. We forfeit this primacy place. Because as the hymn said it, what a privilege to carry. Something? No. Everything. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry something, no, everything to God in prayer. But there's also the practice of prayer. Oh, we've looked briefly at the primacy of prayer, but Paul teaches and instructs by showing the practice of prayer, because he gives some insight into prayer and what is involved when seeking the Lord. You see, the word prayer has the sense of worship. The sense of worship. And denotes the fact that in prayer we are to worship God. And this is further confirmed in the meaning of the word thanksgiving, which is to give gratitude. To give gratitude to God as an act of worship. You know, child of God, have you ever prayed? Have you ever prayed with a feeling that, well, your prayers were not getting through to God? That your prayers weren't getting through to God. It's only a fly. Never worry about it. This is things of God we're dealing with here. It's only a dirty old fly. Have you ever prayed with the feeling that your prayers weren't getting through to God? I have. I most certainly have. I've experienced it more than once. But have you ever experienced or considered the fact, rather, that ingratitude might be a hindrance in your prayers? It can be. Because we see that prayer and thanksgiving are inseparably linked. They go together. They cannot be divorced. They go together. And therefore, they cannot be divorced. Because we see throughout Scripture continually that prayer and thanksgiving go together. Go together. And so, prayer thrives best in the soil of a thankful heart. Prayer thrives best in the soil of a thankful heart. You see, remember back in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we read in verse 3. Verse 3. We find Paul praying here. He's returning thanks. Thanks to God. To whom thanks is to be given. And he says in verse 3. I thank my God. Upon every remembrance of you. And so we see immediately this practice in prayer. That he renders thanksgiving. The object of which is God. To whom thanks is to be given at the remembrance of his name. Of his perfections. The perfections of his nature. And for all his mercies. Temporal mercies. Spiritual mercies. Oh, the apostle gives thanks for temporal and spiritual mercies. the apostle expresses his interest in him, calling him my God, thereby distinguishing him from all others. He was the God whom he served in the gospel, by whom he was sent, and from whom he received all his possessions, and to whom he was accountable. And so hence a church that is bearing fruit by the grace of God casts his or her mind on these things, that none of this was brought about by man. I thank my God. I thank my God. And so we see in Philippians chapter 4 in the first 6, a blessed harmony between prayer and thanksgiving. And so whenever we approach God for anything, we shouldn't fail to thank him for those blessings and benefits we have already received. We've already received. And therefore prayer without thanksgiving, prayer without thanksgiving is ineffective, because praise is essential to prayer. Psalm 100, we sang the 100th psalm earlier. In the first 4 it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so we who are the recipients, the beneficiaries of God's eternal blessings, we must return thanks to him. Thanks to God. And so when we come near to the court of the King of Kings, we must come with thanksgiving. Oh, thus we see that one aspect of prayer is worship to God. In our prayers, we are to praise God and consider who we are actually praying to. At the same time, thankful to God for all that he has done, accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. But there's a second aspect to prayer, which is the bringing of requests to God. Bringing requests to God. We find in verse 6 the word supplication. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication means a petition or request. And so the latter part of verse 6 commands. God says, tell me about it, believer. Let your requests be made known unto God. And therefore our practice in prayer ought to be that of worshipping God with thankfulness and petitioning God with our requests. And so we see the same train of thought, and it indicates this practice in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the first 1. We don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You see, making requests for personal needs, praying for the needs of others. Because remember, child of God, there are people who need our prayers. There are people who need our prayers. And remember, there was a time in your life's experience that you as an individual were the subject of prayer. Were the subject of prayer. And therefore, praying for the needs of others and giving thanks for God's blessings. praying for the world in general, for particular persons, prayer targets, individuals in society that need our prayers, who need or desire our prayers. And furthermore, this practice in prayer is taught by the Lord himself when he was here in the flesh. You see, it confirms this practice. Matthew chapter 6. Turn with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, and I know time is going. And that's how life is. We're only here for a moment. We're only here for a moment. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the first 9 to first 13. We find here, as it's often quoted, the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. Because the Lord never sinned. The Lord never sinned. And so it was the disciples' prayer. The Lord was teaching the disciples. We find here from verse 9 to 13. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so notice verse 9 and 10 express worship and thanks. Verses 11 to 13 are petitions and requests. You see, sometimes there's the tendency that because God is sovereign, he already knows our need. So why bother with prayer? And yet here's the command, tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto God. You see, just like the woman of Canaan, the Lord answered her not. Didn't mean he didn't hear. Oh, he answered her not immediately. Christ loves to be cried after. To be cried after. Let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, she desired that her daughter would be healed. That we desire that our countrymen, women, boys and girls would be delivered from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. Oh, Christ loves to be cried after. Let your requests be made known unto God. It's also important that our prayers are not all petitions. They're not all petitions. For we can sometimes rush into the presence of God and simply give him a list of demands. And therefore, let us not forget to spend time in worship. And thirdly, finally, well, there's peace from prayer. There's peace from prayer. Because look at verse 7. We find at the very beginning of this verse, there's the conjunction. And. Meaning what has went before. And so it says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, there's a peace that comes from leaving your burdens at the feet of Jesus. And this peace, well, it is unexplainable from a human perspective, but it is a peace that comes from God. This peace is a great blessing for the Lord, from the Lord to the child of God. Oh, we understand the peace and having made peace through the blood of his cross. But there's a peace from leaving your burdens at Jesus' feet at the place of prayer. You see, you think a person, the illustration of a person experiencing trials and troubles, difficulties in life's journey, suffering from it, has pain, and is going through dark days. What is it that they seek the most in this storm of life? Peace. Peace. And that is what God exactly provides. Isaiah chapter 26 and the first three, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so all who belong to it are safe and easy and have a security and peace of mind in the assurance of God's favour. For thou wilt keep him in inward peace, outward peace, peace with God, peace of conscience, peace under all events. And so we are shown where the peace comes from. Because of our union in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of our union in him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By trusting in the Lord and resting in the God of peace. And so the believer can have peace in the midst of the storms of life, because he or she knows underneath are the everlasting arms, and God hears and answers prayer. God will keep us through Christ Jesus. And we can only know peace because of Christ and his work on our behalf, because peace is only found in and through Jesus Christ. And this is true for the unbeliever also. This is true for the unbeliever as well as the believer. And therefore, turn every care into prayer. Turn into a prayer everything that is a care. And so may God grant us all the help that we need to pray rather than to worry. May God grant us grace that we can pray as we ought. And I trust that we will all experience that peace of God and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What did the Lord himself say? What did the Lord himself say? He most certainly didn't say, cast some of your care upon him. I can assure you of that. Because you only have to read it for yourself. The Lord's not a man that he should lie. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the first 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. No one cared like our Lord. Cared so much that he left the splendors of heaven. Took upon himself a flesh like ours, yet without sin, because he couldn't sin. Cared so much that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, no one cared like our Lord. Because the whole purpose He did nothing in isolation from his people. It was for our benefit, for our blessing. Therefore, child of God, turn every care, into prayer. Unsaved, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Make no doubt about it. What God says is true. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Child of God, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. There's no divorcement with Him. Union, an indissoluble union. A union that is forevermore. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask of Thee that You'll take that which has been of Thyself, apply it to hearts. Pray that You will help us to put it into practice. We ask of Thee that You'll bless that which has been of Thyself. All that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in Thy sight. Take us to our homes in safety. Remember the unsaved. We pray particularly even for them for the evening service. Pray that You'll bless Your own blood-bought children as they endeavour to see their loved ones found under truth, that they would hear words whereby they can be saved. Help us now as we go our separate ways, and cause His face to shine upon us, for it's in Christ's worthy name we ask it. Amen.